You are listening to the audio-only portion of the KoopaCast. To watch the video version, please check out purenintendo.com/KoopaCast. The intro and outro music of our KoopaCast is brought to you by the artist Big Giant Circles, who has composed for projects such as Mass Effect 2, Super Street Fighter 2 HD Remix, and Borderlands 2. Our opening song is Houston, and our closing song is A Rose in the Field, both from the album Glory Days. To listen to more of Big Giant Circles' work, go to music.biggiantcircles.com to see his entire collection of video game remixes and soundtracks. You can also find his collection on iTunes. Again, that website is music.biggiantcircles.com.
Hey everyone, this is Justin. Welcome to Pure Nintendo's first podcast of 2013. So the world didn't end, which is good. And we're going to be talking about a bunch of different topics tonight. Obviously stuff we played over the holidays. There was an interesting discussion about piracy as it relates to the 3DS that Jules Watcham from Renegade Kid brought up, and kind of had some back and forth with another developer. So we'll go into a little bit of that, and then we'll talk about the big news that happened yesterday in the world of Pokemon. And then we'll take any questions you guys have on Twitter. So, all right, with that, guys, let's start first with Jules Watcham, Renegade Kid. He was talking about piracy and some of the implications that it has for indie developers specifically. You're trying to get your game out there, and then you have high piracy rates. How does that affect your sales, that sort of thing? What did you guys think about it, Eli? What are your thoughts?
Well, I feel that it does. That it can, if it gets, really big, that it can affect the quality of the games, because, what's going to encourage the developers to make a good game if, especially smaller developers like him who makes great games, but may not have the budget, for the advertising and stuff, some of the larger developers. Mm-hmm. So I hope Nintendo does all they can to prevent it.
Yeah, I think definitely if developers are going to put not only their money, but their time and efforts and stuff into developing games and stuff, it's kind of low that people kind of go out there and steal that stuff, because mm-hmm. if they don't get that money for the games, then they don't have the funds to move forward with other games or sequels or whatever.
Yeah, or even their livelihood.
Yeah, that's true also.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I don't know if you guys saw the indie game documentary that's on Netflix, and but James was telling me a little bit about it, and he said that, it has, the developers from Fez. I don't know if you guys have played that game. Super Meat Boy, and basically, it goes into their lives for the 2 years that they spent developing their games. And it was interesting to see how you basically put everything on hold. You don't see family, you're just kind of coding or, building graphics and visuals for your game, and, how long and how arduous that process can be. And then once you finally put it out there, let's say you've spent the last 2 years not getting paid necessarily, and you're just hoping, investing your time into building the game, that it'll pay off. But it's interesting to see, the life of these indie game developers. And then if the game doesn't do well, then, they, don't get that money in the end, and the last 2 years that they spent working on it, or however long, what was it for?
I'm not saying, music or movie piracy is good or anything, but I think this is a little different, even, because with music, you know, these pop stars and everything, they're still going to make tons of money on other things. I don't see how a game developer, I mean, that's where they're getting all their money from, is the sales. Where music, you know, they'll get it from concerts, they'll get it from just showing up on some reality TV show or something like that. Right. So, not saying it's right to pirate it, but it's, I think it's even more of a, you know, it hurts the developers even more than it does with these, you know, stars and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's true. Because yeah, even if they market it well, they advertise it well, it's still limited. Avenues of distribution, you know, even if you do the digital route, like with Renegade Kid, you know, Mutant Muds and all that was digital only, then you're still missing out on this segment of, you're still missing out on that segment of, you know, people who do buy games at retail. And as I think one of the developers that responded back to Jules was, you know, the game came out late in the life of the DS and it wasn't really available in stores. And, you know, that could be, you know, the size of the developer and the publisher, you know, not getting it out of every single store. Maybe it was only in Walmart or, you know, Target didn't have it, Best Buy didn't have it, that sort of thing. So yeah, like you said, you know, you can't get paid as a game developer to go to a video game signing or a concert for, you know, a video game. You know, it's limited to where they're getting their money, I guess. So.
Definitely. And especially with games like Mutant Muds, where it was available digitally, that might limit the availability of it coming to, like, a physical format or something like that. Because just recently he announced that he was going to not only create the sequel to Mutant Muds, but he's also going to see, he was kind of gauging the interest of if people wanted it on the digital platform or if they wanted a physical copy of it or.
It's interesting. Let's see, let's get the quote here from.
Indie Game, the movie, was good, by the way. I did watch it. It was kind of slow at points, but it was kind of cool to see inside the life of the indie developer. It was really neat.
What was it called again?
Indie Game, the movie.
Okay. Yeah, it's a documentary. It's on Netflix.
Okay.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, I've got it on my queue. I just have to check
it. It sat on my queue for a while until I saw people talking about it on Twitter, and I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to have to watch it now.
Yeah. It was interesting. This developer from Galaxy Games, you know, isn't really disagreeing necessarily with Jules, but just kind of bringing up the other point of, you know, it may not have just been piracy that led to poor sales. And, you know, and I mentioned, you know, releasing a game late in the life of a system, you know, like the DS, even though the DS has, you know, what is it, like 120 million units out there in the world, you know, it's still not a guarantee that your game is going to do well, just because there are 120 million systems out there. But anyways, yeah. I know Nintendo does a lot to prevent piracy, and in fact, they may do more than any other console manufacturer or handheld manufacturer out there. You're always hearing about whenever they do a new 3DS update, they're locking out some new, you know, 3DS cart, you know, that allows people to put ROMs and other things on there. So, Nintendo, it seems like they're proactive about it. But, you know, listening to Jules talk about it, I was like, how can there be that much piracy out there, you know, with all those restrictions on the system? But I guess there's still ways people can get to it.
Well, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought I read somewhere that, like, the DS was pretty, not bad with the piracy, but there's, like, a lot of piracy with the DS and its games.
Yeah. Yeah, there definitely was. I think partly that was due to the popularity of it.
Okay.
You know, similar to Microsoft or with Windows operating system versus Mac OS. Everybody has Windows. Maybe 80% of the world has Windows. So you have tons of stuff pirated for that, and versus stuff that's pirated for that. So if it's more popular, it's going to be more of a target, I think.
Right. Right.
So because even the PS2 had tons of issues with piracy. So it's not necessarily the format, whether it's a disc or digital or the cards that the 3DS or DS have. So,
The unfortunate thing is piracy is not going anywhere. Like, it's always going to be around, and you just kind of have to deal with it.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, what do indie developers do then? To try and help mitigate and the issues with piracy, and then have their game sell better.
Offer good prices.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Because I think the higher that is, the more the more temptation for piracy.
Cheap prices.
Yeah, well, that's definitely a factor, and especially when you look at the price difference between iOS games. Most everything standard at free or 99 cents.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a quality difference, obviously, between iOS games and DS games. DS or 3DS games have really good visuals, the stereoscopic 3D and all that, but and they have 20-hour gameplay. But when people look at the value, they're like, well, $6 for a downloadable game on the eShop on the 3DS, it's not really that much better than my Retina HD version of Angry Birds for 99 cents or something like that. So, I think the perceived value of games has gone down a lot. And maybe that's on Nintendo to adjust prices on the eShop accordingly. Don't let a developer or publisher say, oh, I'm going to put it on there for $9.99. Nintendo would be like, well, maybe you should do the $4.99 because your game, isn't as deep as some of the other games that are at $9.99. Shop. So, anyways, Ben's here.
Yeah, Ben.
Hey. I was working very hard on a big project for Pure Nintendo.
Yeah.
But I was listening to some of the conversation you guys were having.
Huh? And you need to chime in.
Yeah. Well, I have my input for what developers can do, or the smaller developers can do. And I feel like one thing that they can do is by creating a great sense of community with their gamers.
Mm-hmm.
By, reaching out through like Facebook and all the kind of social media.
Mm-hmm.
So that if they have a good relationship with their buyers, with their gamers are going to probably be a little less likely to steal their product.
Mm-hmm.
Then that just keeping a good relationship is going to help them, I guess, mitigate the thievery.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think that's a really good point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and especially with how easy it is for a company, a developer to just start up a Twitter account and post little updates for how the game's going and all that. I think, it's super easy for these companies to do that, so why not? So,
yeah.
I think it makes a lot of sense.
I mean, I follow Nspace. I mean, they're a little bit bigger than your startups. I mean, they've been around for quite some time. But still, like, they have a great social media to them. I mean, they had a giveaway that was going on during the holidays. They seem to have, like, post pictures of them in the office, which is kind of cool, so you get to see who they are, and it just seems like they're a good example of what a developer can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it adds a good face, a personal touch.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Now, do you guys think that you know, people who do pirate, you think the rationale for pirating goes up if it's a big company versus being an indie developer? Or what do you guys think with that?
It's possible.
Yeah, I think bigger games might be a larger target, but I think it might do more damage to an indie developer than it does a big company. Because if somebody targets a game from Activision, I mean, they, for instance, like maybe Call of Duty, it sells millions of copies, so that's just like a small dent.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think social media would be a good thing to address some of it. And I think Renegade Kid is really taking advantage of that, really. I mean, he has such a voice with all the Nintendo blogs out there, mm-hmm. And a good relationship with all of us. I mean, he's a great guy. We've, you know, met him at E3s, and so, you know, he's just a real fun guy. He takes out his 3DS, and we play some games there. This past E3, we just sat outside Nintendo's booth and played some of his new games.
Nice.
Oh, that's cool.
And then the guys from InSpace walked by, and so we all talked. And anyways, he's just, you know, very chill, you know, very fun guy. And so I think, you know, I hope that gamers realize these indie developers, you know, are maybe more in common with true gamers than, you know, than some people might think. You know, they're gamers just as passionate as us, and they've just decided to take that passion and, you know, build their own. So, anyway.
You see a lot of that, the comment you just made, you see a lot of that reflected in Indie Game, the movie also. Like, these guys talk about how they love to play games and where the inspiration for these different games came from and stuff like that, and that they enjoy playing games as much as they do making the games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think that's important, and I hope that, you know, and with social media, with some of these things, I think, you know, developers, if they portray that, that they really, I mean, they're passionate about their games, they're passionate about, you know, listening to fans' feedback about what they want in the game, I think that can go a long way.
So. Oh, yeah, I agree. I think so, too. Mm-hmm. And putting, yeah, just putting a face on it,
mm-hmm.
You know, you kind of can, like, I mean, with, yeah, like the Renegade Kid, I mean, he's out there and people can see, oh, okay, wow, that's the face of it, you know, and it's, I think it, you know, starts building that relationship between the gamers and developers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so we can make that stronger, then I think that'll go a long way for indie developers like him, so. And things like Kickstarter and, you know, stuff like that where it's actually fan funded, you know, I think that's a pretty cool concept too. And, you know, helps get rid of piracy because they've already, you know, paid up front to fund the project.
Yeah, definitely. Kickstarter, I think, has been huge for indie developers recently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it helps them gauge the interest, and they don't have to necessarily invest the 2 years of time and not knowing if it's going to pay off.
Right.
You have that initial investment, and you're like, okay, let's do it. You know, the fans want it. These are the features that they want. You know, I think it's a really good way to gauge interest and make sure that a game's going to be successful.
And here's kind of something a little off topic, but indie developers have come very, very, grown very popular recently. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering how much you guys think indie developing and indie developers are going to be for the future of gaming. Mm-hmm. Because typically games have been made by large companies in the past. That's the way gaming has been, like Nintendo, Sega, EA, all those big companies made the games for us to play. But more recently with companies like Steam or platforms like Steam and stuff like that, mm-hmm. where indie developers kind of have that leg up, how much do you guys think indie developers are going to play into the grand scheme of things for the future of gaming?
Yeah. Hmm. I don't know. What do you think, Ian? I feel like I've been talking a lot.
No. I think it's going to be huge indie gamers.
Yeah.
Well, no, we've seen it like over the past few years, and I don't see it going away. I think it's only going to get bigger.
Yeah. And I think some of the big publishers, Sony, Microsoft, and Nintendo are starting, Nintendo slower than most, but they're starting to realize the value of, having someone in their garage or, at their home on their computer developing a game and it being popular and still having it on your platform. I think gone are the days where every single developer has to, work at a 20-person office building in order to actually publish a game on a Nintendo system or, Xbox or PlayStation. So I think the sooner those publishers realize that and how indie developers can, help benefit everybody, gamers and the platform holders, then I think the better it'll be. Well, enough about indie stuff. Let's move on to something that we thought might not happen in 2012, Nintendo TV coming out.
Woohoo!
Yeah. So I know we talked about it in our last podcast that we were wondering if Nintendo TV would be pushed or not. They had said December, and I think it was like 2 days after that they released it. It was like the Friday before Christmas or something like that.
I don't recall the exact date.
Yeah.
I set it up after Christmas, so I don't even know.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know. What have your guys' experience been with it so far?
I was impressed. I thought it was pretty cool. I can completely control my TV and cable box all from the Wii Remote. I mean from the gamepad. I thought it was pretty slick, and it's neat because you can set up the quick channels and stuff, and you can apparently it's coming, but soon you'll be able to even control your DVR settings and stuff from it. Apparently that was one of the things I noticed on there. So I thought it was pretty cool. I dig it. Now if I have my honest use of it.
Yeah. Tell us how you feel.
yes, it's very cool.
Yeah.
But I find myself still going for my actual TV remote rather than my Wii U remote to control the TV. Now, if I'm playing the Wii U already, then I would, since it's in my hand, I'm gonna, I would just keep going. But typically, if I just want to watch TV, I'm not gonna turn on my Wii, wait for it to load, then turn on my, cable and everything. So, in that sense, it's not gonna really change the way I watch my TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I've had the same experience where if I was playing Wii U and I was like, "Oh, a show's coming on," then I'll switch over real quick. Otherwise, like you said, it takes a little bit to turn on the Wii U, go to the channel, whatever. Granted, the basic TV functionality, just the TV remote, is pretty quick, but. Mm-hmm. But yeah, getting all the Nintendo TV stuff up is a little different. But I don't know. What did you guys think of? Have you tried out like the sports functionality or some of the other stuff they have on there?
I don't have any TV or cable, so
I'm in the same boat.
I pretended I was using it. Like I turned it on and I said, "Yeah, I've got TV and stuff." And
these are the channels I have.
Yeah, I went through the interface and stuff, and I like it. My biggest complaint would be similar to what Ben was saying, just how, sometimes it's not as quick, to be able to. I wish I want it to be instant, of course. That's all what we always want.
Yeah, instant gratification.
It takes a little while sometimes, you know, to load some of the stuff, but it does seem pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. All I have is Netflix, so yeah. If I watch something, I just open the Netflix app. Yeah. I did fiddle with it for a little while, and like you guys were saying, the remote functionality and stuff works real well. And going to select different broadcast TV channels and stuff was very easy and stuff like that. But I don't have cable or anything, so I couldn't really fiddle with the stuff that they were talking about, like the social networking interactions and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Wasn't able to really work with that stuff. So.
Yeah, and I've played with the TV functionality some, but one complaint I have so far is a lot of the shows, it'll say not available for TV tag feature or something like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was one of the big things with the social media. And I've hooked in my Twitter account, Facebook, and all that. But so far I have yet to find a show that actually
uses it.
Yeah, which is kind of funny. I mean, you know, I don't watch that obscure of shows either. You know, it's like Modern Family or, Simpsons or stuff like that, and it doesn't have the TV tag. So I don't know if, you know, they can update that stuff. So this was a week ago, so maybe there's something.
Yeah, I think some of this is still, like, in progress.
Yeah.
And it's just
I think they wanted to just get it going. Yeah. They want to just get it live in December, and then we'll just incrementally update it.
One other complaint I had, maybe you figured it out, Justin, but I couldn't find, like, a quick return button. Like, if you're watching two shows, like, I'm a channel surfer, and so, like, I'm on one channel, and it turns to commercial, I want to quickly jump to the other channel, and I couldn't
figure out.
I hate
those people.
he said he hates those people, the channel surfers.
Well, I mean, I'm not like a super channel surfer, but I'll bounce between at least two channels.
Yeah, you do that, Eli. Like you know, if one show goes to commercials, you jump back to the channel you were watching, so you get two options, but then you could potentially have no commercials then.
Potentially. Usually it doesn't work out quite that well. Usually but potentially.
That's piracy.
You're avoiding the commercials.
I am not one of those people. When I start watching a show, I even watch the commercials. I'll watch a show.
No, because no.
I can't switch. I like commercials too.
Yeah.
Commercials aren't that bad. Come on, guys.
There's a whole Simpsons episode about this. We'll have to. I love that episode too because Marge is. She's feeling bad that she's not watching the commercials because they, you know, they get one of the TiVos and so they just go, you know, and just, you know, speed through something they've recorded. And she's like, now I feel bad. And then she goes back and she starts watching just the commercials.
Wow, we're not off topic.
But anyways, I can't find a quick return button.
I couldn't find that either. I was looking around and most of the buttons that I thought would be the quick return were for the DVR functionality.
Exactly. That's what I was finding too.
I didn't find, they need a good channel return because that's a good one to have. I mean, that's almost like the mute button. It's, you know,
yeah,
every controller.
It's a necessary, it's a need.
So, you know, I did like that. You know, I don't have cable or anything. I just have an old school antenna, but you know, it just gets whatever HD broadcasts over the air. So I just get the networks and things. But it was really cool. You just, you know, configure broadcast channels, put in your zip code, and it, you know, mapped all the channels that I had on there, and it was really slick set up. I do like how you can favorite your channels, and the cool thing about it is. It's like one queue. So instead of having a Netflix queue and I think Amazon calls it a watch list or something, instead of having three of those and three different apps, you just have your queue. You have your favorite channels, you have your favorite movies, doesn't matter if it's an Amazon or Hulu or Netflix, although Netflix is still coming for Nintendo TV. But anyways, I thought that was really cool that you could potentially, you know, sync to your Mii character, have all of your favorites just on one screen there. I thought that was nice, and that was the whole promise of Nintendo TV that I really enjoyed when they first announced it, was being able to not have to switch between all of these apps and video services, but just have it all there and, you know, jump right to it. Because you can look for a movie and it'll tell you if it's playing on TV, if it's playing on Netflix, Amazon, or Hulu. And you can choose which one you want to go to, depending on what services you subscribe to. But that's the really cool thing. You know, granted, I use Netflix most of the time, and they don't have it, so that's kind of a bummer. But I think as it develops, it could be a really, you know, cool thing to have all of that synchronized there. And if I was, you know, looking to watch something, I would just turn on the Wii U and, you know, oh, go to my favorite channel, or oh, I want to watch this movie. Oh, it's showing on channel whatever right now. So, but yeah. Mm-hmm. So Nintendo TV off to a rough start. It's okay. It's kind of funny. You know, most of you mentioned that you didn't really have cable. I wonder what the percentage is of Wii U owners that actually have a full, you know, DirecTV service, or, you know, I don't know. For some reason, I associate that with something my parents would have, you know. And yeah. Which seems kind of backwards, you know, because we're all tech and, you know, video games and all that. But for the most part, we don't like to spend money on TV, really.
No, because there's so much that you can get for free through. I mean, or cheaply. Yeah. Through like Hulu Plus and Netflix,
definitely.
Where you're paying $8, $9, you know, maybe $20 a month for both of those, where a full cable package is going to be upwards of 100 plus.
Oh, yeah. It's expensive.
Yeah, super expensive.
And then half the stuff I don't even watch.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of funny. We've gone from, you know, bundling, you know, the concept of bundling, and, you know, our parents' generation and all that. I was like, oh, yeah, just get it bundled and it's cheaper. But now we're like, no, we just want a la carte. I just want to be able to choose. I just want to watch the baseball channel, or I want to watch Discovery Channel, you know. I want to be able to subscribe to these channels. And that's
wish a cable company would do that. Say, okay, you can select 30 channels for this amount of money. Yep. Select what channels you want to watch.
Yeah,
and then just pay for those channels.
Yeah, it's going to happen at some point, you know, whether they proactively do it or they're dragged kicking and screaming. But, yeah.
I think that's the way to go. I think they would definitely up their subscribers if they did something like that, because I would pay for a pick and choose sort of thing.
Definitely.
Some channels would probably go out of business, but they probably should.
Yeah.
Because some of them, that's why they... Yeah, some of them, they, like Viacom might force the cable companies, hey, you have to have this, because they know that no one would buy it anyway.
No one would subscribe, choose this channel. Yeah, that's true.
Well, maybe they can have like sponsored channels or something where you pick 30, but then 5 you have to have.
Yeah. Yeah. 5 loser channels everyone has to have.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so we've talked about Nintendo TV. Let's move on to everyone's holidays. Ben, do you want to start off? Any holiday gaming experiences, highlights, favorite games from Christmas?
Okay, sure.
On the spot.
Well, okay, for one, I've been playing, well, I was playing a lot of Darksiders.
Yes.
Before and I think busy. It's an awesome game, and I love the game, and I think there's so much to it, a lot of great stuff, but I got to this one spot that I haven't gotten past yet, and it kind of frustrated me a little bit, and so I haven't gone back to it yet. Yeah. And then I've been working on a really big project for Pure Nintendo. Yeah. So I spent a lot of my free time on that. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I got Sonic Racing for Christmas, and I haven't even played it once yet.
Oh, no.
I know. I need to play. I need people to log on and race with me.
Yeah, well, we'll get online sometime. I've got it. Eli, do you have it?
Yeah, that's what I've been playing a lot. I love that game. It's awesome.
Yeah, and there's tons of levels.
Yeah.
It's just great.
And it's challenging. It's very challenging.
Yeah, I love the flying parts. It reminds me of Diddy Kong Racing a lot.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, Mario Kart 7 did the whole, you know, driving, flying, water thing in Mario, you know, the last Mario Kart on the 3DS. Mm-hmm. But I like continuous flight. Rather than just gliding.
Gliding.
Mario Kart 7.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, that's really fun.
Yeah. So I love how the levels change as you go throughout the laps. So, you know, maybe at one point you're driving the cart and then the road breaks away, then you're on water, and then the third lap everything breaks away and you have to fly or something. There was a really cool level that did that.
How many people can you connect to at once?
You can do 10 online.
The 10?
I think how that works though is you have five local, and then you just connect to each other.
Oh, so you can't do like a bunch of.
I think you can do random though. I think you could just do like, you know, two people at home join with a party of eight online or something. That's just like yeah. So I think it's. I actually haven't played online with it, but
yeah.
I would imagine you could just, you know, play by yourself, but play with another group of nine people.
Well, I was saying like, okay, like let's say the four of us have the game. Would we be able to go in and race against each other?
Yeah, I think so. I'm pretty sure.
I haven't tried it, like, but I think I saw an option for it.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. And I know you can do like teams and stuff, and there's a bunch of different modes, and we'll have to play that.
I've got the demo. I can pretend like I'm playing with you guys.
Just get it. It's cheap.
Yeah, it's basically free.
Yeah.
And they're
basically
giving it away.
Pirate.
They're
giving it away.
Pirate. No.
No. Yeah, like it's only $40, and I'm sure there's some deals out there for probably 30 or something on Amazon.
Yeah. Sometimes Target has some good deals.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And Toys R Us will usually do like a buy one, get one after holidays.
Not a lot.
Right.
Yeah. Anyways. Eli, how are your holiday game experiences?
It was good. Played, killed some zombies and stuff. And
ah, nice.
Not in Zombie U. I need to get Zombie U. You guys have it, or?
Yes, yes.
I've been doing it in Call of Duty. But
okay. Yeah, I was going to say, is it?
I've been playing Call of Duty, but yeah. What was it?
No, I was just saying there's two zombie games, I guess. If you have zombies in multiplayer Call of Duty and then Zombie U.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been doing it in Call of Duty, but I want to get Zombie U also. But yeah, I've been playing a lot of Sonic too. That's probably what I've been playing the most lately.
Nice. A lot of Sonic. J-Money?
We got Black Ops 2, Assassin's Creed 3, New Super Mario Bros. U, and I got a paid-off pre-order for Rayman Legends. So, yeah, I'm excited for that.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait for that game.
I've been playing a ton of Assassin's Creed 3. I am in love with that game, especially the multiplayer.
Yeah.
And one thing I have to say about the multiplayer is that they did the voice chat through the gamepad, which initially I was really excited for, but it turns out that if you're not yelling or have the gamepad like this, they're not going to hear you.
Oh, no.
So it's like the microphone in the gamepad isn't that great or something, because you can't. And like I said, if you're not shouting at the gamepad, then they're not going to hear you.
It doesn't pick up. Damn.
No, it doesn't. But the online multiplayer is a lot of fun. I'm just kind of disappointed that there's not very many people online yet. So it's very hard to get into a match.
Right.
But that's the game I've played the most since Christmas.
Nice. Yeah. I think I probably. Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
Well, one thing is when he was talking about the gamepad, it reminded me, it's a little off subject, but. But with when I was playing Sonic over Christmas, like I wanted to watch like movie or TV show or something, so I switched it over to the gamepad, you know, and I was playing while I was watching, and I started. It seemed like I was hearing the sound coming toward the corner of our room by the TV, and I was like, "What's going on? Why is the sound going through my TV?" And it just seems like the sound on the gamepad. I couldn't believe how good it was. It was like 3D. It was like casting it into the because it was like the cheering. Like I heard my car and everything in my hands, but the cheering was like in the corner of my room. It was kind of freaky.
Nice.
Like, it's crazy. Because I had used a little bit with, like, I think, New Super Mario Brothers, and I didn't notice it as much in that. But I remember James, I think it was him that once was talking about how great the sound was, and I didn't really understand what he was talking about, but now I do. Like, I mean, you don't get bass and stuff like that, but it is high-quality sound.
Yeah, definitely. The speakers in the gamepad are quality. I found that they put out some pretty good sound.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, I had some fun holiday gaming experiences. I think over Christmas, I played a lot of Wii U, but one of my nephews, we got him Kirby's Epic Yarn.
Oh, nice. That's a good one.
Yeah, so he's been getting in. He's 5, so he's just now.
Oh, nice.
Perfect.
He's starting to be able to play Mario games and stuff like that. And so he was playing a little Mario Kart on the Wii and he was liking that a lot. And I was like, well, maybe Epic Yarn would be good, because part of the problem in the Mario games, and you wouldn't even realize this unless, you know, you were 5, you know, and then you would have this problem, but the time limit in Mario games.
Oh yeah.
So, you know, he's walking through, but you know, he's not dexterous enough to, you know, run and, you know, jump at the same time as he's holding right on the D-pad and all that. And he doesn't understand that he has to get to the end by a certain time limit. You know, he wants to get all the coins or, you know, get all the star coins, stomp on all the enemies, you know, that sort of stuff. And he, you know, he can barely get through half the level in the whole time, limit that he's playing.
Right. I can understand that. I was running out of time recently when I was playing the other day. So yeah.
So anyways, I was like, man, I wish that was like a feature you could turn off or something, you know, for kids to play it. But
right. Well, like Eli was saying, when I was playing Boost Mode with like my brother and my stepson, we were running out of time before we even got to the end. We get like midway and then we'd be like, oh, time over.
Yeah, I know.
Because there's so many coins. You want to get all the coins. And
I'd be looking for star coins or something. Yeah. And then you end up having to rush like the last 90 seconds. And it's not like a real 90 seconds. It's like fast count, you know? And so you're like, no, we just have to run. And there was one time, we were playing and like right before the flag, like literally jumping in the air and got like this close to the flag. It's like, time's up.
Yep. Oh yes.
I was like, so anyways, the time limit.
There's sometimes we'd just be like playing, like having fun, and the game would stop and we'd be like, oh, we weren't even paying attention to the time. We ran out. Whoops.
Yep. Yeah, so anyways, he liked Epic Yarn a lot, so I got to play a ton of that. He was always like, let's go to the next level. You know, I want to go eat, and no, next level, let's play more. It's like, all right. But it was lots of fun, and I think the Wii U game I played most was probably Assassin's Creed 3, like J Money. So I was showing it to my brothers, and my oldest brother John just loved it. You know, he was just having a lot of fun with that one, and you know, he was just getting lost in the world. You know, just going through the wilderness, and you know, all the stuff that you can do in the game is just crazy. You know, I see some people, they, you know, criticize it because, you know, people on YouTube will show videos of him falling through walls or, you know, just little clipping issues, stuff like that. And I was like, yeah, so there's a couple issues here and there, but the grand scope of the game is incredible. So, and, you know, the amount of fun that you can have just in the naval battles is incredible.
I haven't gotten that far yet.
Oh, the naval battles are just...
I find myself just wandering around, so I don't ever accomplish anything.
Yeah. But that's part of the fun, too.
So, I think I need to get this game now, too.
I'm just running around, like, assassinating guys. I'm like, this is fun. Yeah.
That's probably what I do, too. Yeah.
And, you can totally... You can really play the game how you want. You can, yeah, go through and just attack every redcoat you see, you know, or... you can really go through it and, you know, get into the trading aspect of it. You can actually go hunting and, you know, do all these different quests to, you know, trade with the local people there and, you know, get lumber and beaver pelts and, you know, whatever else for these people. But,
yeah, and that's a question I kind of had, and I guess I'm going to ask you now that you brought it up, is I just got to the frontier, I did a couple missions, and I know that you can hunt prior to going to the frontier, and I think that may be part of the problem. But, like, I've killed a couple deer and stuff, and I'm like, okay, maybe it's too early, and maybe I haven't learned that skill yet, or something like that, so just take time, or...
Yeah, well, there's something that unlocks where it gets you... What once you meet someone, it starts unlocking trade quests and stuff like that. Okay.
That's cool.
I think you may have to get to the point where you have, you can do the naval battles. Once you get to that point, it kind of opens up a lot, and you'll see. I won't spoil anything, but just look out for that, and it'll explain, like, okay, now you can do this, and you can do this, and all that. Okay. So, like, the game just blows up in size. But
okay, now I'm going to go play. See ya.
No, yeah. And that's it. Yeah.
Hey, I want to backtrack just a little bit.
Yeah.
And I guess we had a question on Facebook about the Sonic All-Star Racing. Like I said, I haven't played that much, but it sounds like you have, Eli. Someone was asking... that they were having trouble switching from the TV to the gamepad. Is there some sort of secret setting? How do you figure that out?
Oh, you just like, yeah, it took me a little while to figure that out too.
That's what, yeah, this person was saying that they even looked on YouTube. Yeah. They're like, how the heck do
you do this? So I think you just like, it's been a couple of weeks, but I think you just swipe down.
Oh, really?
On the screen, yeah.
Ha! Okay.
And then you push up to the TV and it pushes it back to the TV.
So just on the gamepad, just...
Yeah, like, just like... Yeah, just pull down and then it comes onto the screen, and then to put it back, just push up.
Oh, that's hilarious. I mean...
I might be lying, but I'm pretty sure that's how it works. Yeah. I remember I was frustrated too, and I think I accidentally figured that out because... Yeah, by default, it just has like the map on the gamepad. So I was like, "Is there no way for me to get this on here?" And yeah, I'm pretty sure that's. I'm gonna try it now. I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
We'll let you know what he says.
Yeah, that didn't work.
You guys lied.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell him to give us his network ID, and we'll play online all together. But. Yeah, anyway, so it was lots of fun. Assassin's Creed 3, got to show it off to, you know, my brother John hadn't even seen it, so it was fun to play games with all of them. And so, anyways, that was probably my most fond memory, Assassin's Creed 3 and all that. But I think we'll move on to the big news from yesterday. And if you know me, you know that I'm a big Pokemon fan. So I was looking forward to yesterday's announcement. I didn't want to get myself too hyped up for it, but
you have to wait till October.
Yeah, I know. See, now we wait, but that's fine. I've got lots of games to play. But
yeah,
I was kind of expecting that it would be like spring of next year, because usually, and like they said in the Nintendo Direct, it's been like 6 months between the Japanese release.
That's true. It could have been a lot longer for us.
Yeah. So, I was really excited about that, that they announced simultaneous October release. And, Pokemon XY, it looks really cool. I don't know. Some people may not have even seen the trailer or know about it, but it's the next generation Pokemon game. So this would be Generation 6 for all the Pokemon people. Generation 5 was Black and White, and Black 2 and White 2 were part of Generation 5. So every major game starts a new generation of Pokemon. And so they basically determine the generations by what new Pokemon come out with those games. So Gen 1 is Pokemon 1 through 151. And then you have 152 through 251 or 252, something like that. There's some extra legendaries in there. And so it's about in 100 Pokemon increments all the way up. And I think they have 680 some now.
Yeah.
So with this new one, I guess they said there would be at least 700. But I was like, that would only be like 16 or 20 some new Pokemon. So hopefully there's a good group of them in there. Granted, there's already 680. So how many more do you need? But
well, I think they said, I think I read something somewhere recently that there's at least like 50 more new Pokemon.
Well, that's good.
I've heard a little bit of grumbling about, like, I guess the looks of some of the Pokemon as of late. Okay, and so my whole thing is, like, okay, yeah, some of them do end up looking like each other, but I mean, real life animals end up looking like each other too. I mean, the rhino kind of looks like the hippo and the elephant and stuff. It's like, there's only so many shapes that a figure can take.
And I remember, when Pokemon were very simplistic, and a lot of these newer designs are very elaborate. And
I mean, Pikachu's a peanut with a lightning bolt stuck to it. I mean, come on.
I saw some threads this week of what's the worst Pokemon, what's the best Pokemon, and some people mentioned some of the really simplistic looking Pokemon that are there's one called Love Disc that is just a fish that looks like a heart, and there's some other ones that people thought were very uninspired. But
well, I mean, Ditto is just a little blob.
Yeah, exactly. And there's always going to be some in there when you compare it to the good ones. Of course, the garbage Pokemon looks silly compared to the really cool dragon Pokemon.
But, this is going to be really bad, but I haven't played a Pokemon game since Blue or Red.
Oh, snap.
So this is going to be like a gigantic jump for me.
Well, you have some catching up to do, and you have a little bit of time to do it in.
You've got some time. Now, the average Pokemon game takes about 40 to 50 hours to complete, so
you've got tons of time to get through all of them.
Sure.
And those games are so addicting that sometimes you'll spend those 40 hours all straight.
Yeah, it's true.
It's true.
Yeah. So I've been playing a little bit more of Black 2, trying to get myself ready for the new ones. But what did you guys think of the graphical style, the looks? I know some people were
I like the fight, the way they're changing, the way the fighting is gonna be turning out. Yeah, that looks really cool.
I thought it was cool when he did, like, the swing on the vine. Like, looks like the environments are going to be even really, a little more interactive and everything. So that looks really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, because for the most part, environments, you cut the tree down or swim or something like that. But it was rare that you had, things you could attach to, swinging vines, that sort of stuff. But, I know in Black 2 and White 2, they introduced the I forget the exact name that they call it, but it's like a hidden grotto or something. But it's kind of these areas mixed in with the trees that you would normally see, but there are some trees that are closer together, and you can actually go inside there, and there will be a special Pokemon inside the grotto. And so it's kind of, you know, surrounded by trees and just kind of like in this little opening in the forest, and then there's a special Pokemon that you can actually see when you walk up to it. So it's not like just a random encounter fight in the grass. You can actually see which Pokemon's there. You're like, oh, cool, it's one of those, which is really cool because all of the legendary Pokemon are like that, and you can actually save right before you encounter them just in case you don't catch them or you, you know, make them faint or whatever. So you could repeat the battle. But anyways, they've added some things, you know, here and there with each of the generations, but it looks like they're doing a lot of cool new stuff in this one. I mean, not just graphically, but you know, I'm guessing they're going to be doing some new battle systems. And
it's going to be 3D.
Yeah.
And it's going to be 3D.
Yeah. 3D and stereoscopic 3D. So, I'm really excited about it. There's and there's some people online that are kind of speculating that there may be some co-op in the game. I don't know if you guys have seen some of that.
Oh, wow.
Well, there's in the trailer, you saw like the trainer, and he's running through this dark forest, and then there's someone following him. And you know, that could be just a non-playable character in the game that's following you around for that,
because that's happened in the past as well. So
right, so you know, people would follow you or take you somewhere or something like that. But there is some other comment, like where here, I'll find the exact quote here.
I'm going to throw something out here while you're looking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. During the presentation, Iwata said something about after the release of the game that the team was going to continue working on the Pokemon game.
Mm-hmm. So downloadable content?
I have a feeling that they're going to have Pokemon downloadable content this time around, too.
Oh, that would be interesting. You know, it's interesting, though, because you know, the Pokemon team has kind of worked on games after, you know, the first two of a generation come out, and they usually bundle it as like a third game. You know, so Red and Blue, they eventually came out with Pokemon Yellow. And Gold and Silver, they originally came out, after that, they came out with Crystal. And then with Ruby and Sapphire, you had a third one that came out later on. So, yeah, I wonder how they'll do that, if it will be just a third game or if it will be actual downloadable content, or it would be really cool if they, you know, had some you know, not like new Pokemon that were downloadable, but maybe like new worlds or new areas that you could unlock.
That'd be crazy.
Yeah, like something like that where it could actually expand the world more, because you know, new Pokemon are good, and you know, that would be a fun downloadable content pack. But I don't know if I would pay $3 just to get, you know, 5 Pokemon or something.
Right.
Can
you customize your character in the more recent Pokemon games?
A little bit, but, you know, not a whole lot. You know, it's basically just choose a boy, choose a girl, and
boy, girl, name.
Yeah, boy, girl, name, and, you know, they have some stuff to customize your Poke gear and all that.
It'd be interesting if you could, like, customize the look of your character. I don't know how much would use that, or how much
play with a me.
Yeah. Some people were speculating that it could have me integration, and you know, because now, you know, the Mii's are on the 3DS.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, why couldn't you have it? Granted, you know, maybe that takes away from the storyline. Maybe you have to be this certain character, but
right.
I would think at least for like online play, you could have your Mii as your avatar or something, but
who knows?
Yeah,
could be. Knows.
But yeah, there's, you know, there's a lot they revealed, but you know, there's a lot they still can reveal. I found the quote here. So it says people around the world will be able to simultaneously experience real play. and it has it in quotes.
Right.
And so some people were saying that, oh, he's just referring to the fact everyone will be able to play at the same time, same release in October. But some people are like, well, maybe he's actually talking about, you know, co-op, so I could actually join Ben's game or Eli's game as they're playing. And
that'd
I think
be cool.
That could potentially be really cool because, I mean, think about that. Like in any open world game, if you have like your friend running around in the same world and then you like met up, you're like, oh, hey, I'm going to go hunt in Assassin's Creed 3. Oh, cool. I'm going to go on the ships. See ya. You know? and then just, you know, run off and, you know, go somewhere. So
Pokemon Warcraft? Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
My brain's exploding.
Yeah. Yeah. See, and a lot of people have speculated about a Pokemon MMO for a long time. And, you know, it's kind of funny, Pokemon and MMO together, I mean, Pokemon is kind of like the precursor to an MMO anyway, just as far as the whole, you know, link cable, communication, trading, and all that. I mean, it was one of the first connected games, if you want to think of it like that. But, so, you know, now that it's on a very capable platform, you know, we could potentially have you know, co-op in the game. So. And they've done that in some of the recent games where you can actually play, you can actually go to a certain part of the game in your friend's game. So you can play like in these underground areas or in Black and White and Black 2 and White 2, there's a section where you can play with another person as well. So it's not too far-fetched that you could potentially have the whole game open for a co-op person to join, but anyways, that's I would dream that.
And a little off topic, but kind of the same thing. They need to make Pokemon for the Wii U.
Yes, that'd be very cool. Yeah, and I've always wanted a console Pokemon game, and I think most of that drive was because I wanted the graphics that the consoles had. And I know on the GameCube they had, you know, Pokemon XD and some of these games that were kind of hybrid. They're not really the mainline RPGs on the handhelds, but, you know, kind of these hybrid games where it was a full 3D world. It was Pokemon Stadium at its core with the battles, but, you know, still had some RPG elements to it. And I thought it was a lot of fun, and I think they could still do, you know, one on the Wii U for sure. I mean, even a Pokemon Snap on the Wii U would be really cool. Just
that would be awesome.
Just having the gamepad and being able to look all around and, you know, snap pictures. And I remember playing that game just trying to find all the hidden ones that I think there's like a volcano when one of them pops its head up, you know, from the volcano, and you have to get it at the right second. I don't know, just stuff like that that I think they could do really well in the Wii U. I think now that the 3DS has, you know, full 3D visuals and it's a full 3D world, you know, I don't know if they would do one on the Wii U at that scale. I'd love to see it on the Wii U and see what they do with it.
I like how on X and Y, too, that they kind of moved more away from the pixel art kind of look, and that they're kind of advancing the graphics a little more.
Yeah. Yeah, and the character models of the Pokemon and the battles, you know, full 3D animations. You know, I remember thinking it was so cool when the Pokemon actually moved.
Right.
You know, just a little pixel art, and they just kind of, you know, just kind of teeter back and forth, or, you know, just basic animations. And then later the DS games, they had, you know, fire coming out for the moves and all that. But, yeah, it's going to be really cool having the full 3D animations. And it seemed like in the trailer, and they talked about it in one of the feature lists, where the battles are a little bit more real time. I don't know if you guys saw that, but basically, like, you could be walking through the grass, and I don't know, maybe it's like more seamless transition to encountering a Pokemon instead of just flashing the screen and
Pokemon.
Like, Yeah, like you would potentially see the grass moving around, and then you'd see literally a Pokemon jump out at you or something like that. Huh. I don't know, you know, if that'll be in the final version, but I always thought that would be cool in a console version of Pokemon or one that had really good graphics to actually
have. Where
you
would actually stumble upon.
Yeah, you could see the Pokemon running through the grass, and you know, so just make the world a little bit more immersive. And anyways, sorry, I'm just talking Pokemon. What did you guys think about it?
More recently, like I said, I haven't played Pokemon since like Blue and Red, which is a very, very long time. And when I saw Black and White, I was like, you know what? I should go pick up a Pokemon game. But now I've seen X and Y, I'm like, okay, now I'm probably definitely going to have to go pick up a Pokemon game.
Yes. It's like, now, this is the time.
Yeah. Yes, definitely. Yeah. forget all those other ones in between.
Yep. You know, especially in this, you know, maybe the perfect one to get people back into it, because if you can have all of the previous Pokemon, then you know, then that's perfect. You know, you don't need a lot of the other ones, because that was a problem in some of the other ones. You actually had to have, like especially the Game Boy Advance ones to the DS ones. Remember the original DS and the DS Lite had a Game Boy Advance slot.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to transfer Pokemon from, let's say, the original, Pokemon from 1 through 151, like Bulbasaur, Charizard, all those guys. If you wanted one of those in Ruby and Sapphire, you had to buy the remakes on the Game Boy Advance, put the Game Boy Advance card in the DS, have the DS game, I guess, you know, Diamond or Pearl or whatever, and then you had to transfer them from the Game Boy Advance game that way.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Yeah, so it was a very complex process, and in some of the games, you just couldn't even get some of the Pokemon from the previous generations. Like Ruby and Sapphire are almost kind of locked right now. A lot of those Pokemon you couldn't uptrade into some of the others. But anyways, with this one, you should be able to just, you know, cruise and have everything.
That would be awesome.
So, yeah. And then real quick, which starters are you getting? Ben?
Fennekin.
Eli?
But
he's like, what?
I noticed that Eli's been very quiet during the Pokemon talk.
Yeah. No, I definitely like, I haven't played Pokemon for a while either, but I'm definitely, I figured I'd let Justin, I'm not a fanboy, but I do get addicted to it when I play it.
Yeah. Did you see the starter Pokemon? Which one would you be?
Oh, I didn't see.
Here, I'll send you the.
I'm either gonna go with Fennekin or Froakie. I've kind of been leaning Froakie more
looks pretty Fennekin. Cool. Yeah, Fennekin looks good, and you know, a lot of people online were saying that they liked how, you know, it looks like this is just a pure fire type.
Yeah.
Where some of the previous fire starters have been. Fighting, have been fire and fighting, like Blaziken, you know, Tepig's evolutions and all that. But
Froakie looks awesome.
Yeah, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, Froakie looks cool. And yeah, Chespin is interesting too. He looks like this little.
Chespin hasn't been getting much love though.
No, yeah. Well, it's kind of the grass anyway. You know, the grass type starter. You're either mostly going to choose red, or I mean the fire type or the water type. And I don't know if you guys know this, but that's kind of the difficulty of the game. Depending on which starter you choose is the difficulty you'll have in the game.
Huh.
So fire, if you pick fire, it's going to be harder for you in the game.
Huh.
If you pick grass, that's about medium, that's middle of the road, so... that would be like a medium difficulty. And then water, if you choose water, it's going to be easy for you.
I might definitely have to go with Froakie then.
Yeah. And water's good. And most of that difficulty comes in the gym trainers, because most of the gym trainers, the early ones are like rock or ground or something like that. So the water is really
for fire to.
Yeah, and water is really effective against those. You know, granted, grass is good against rock too. But, anyways, I think a lot of people choose either the really hard one or the really easy one, instead of the grass one in between. So sometimes I'll choose the fire one just because I want a more of a challenge, and I want to actually raise my Pokemon equally as I go. So all six of my Pokemon I may want to raise equally, so I can. So even though I have a fire Pokemon that may be weak against a lot of the Pokemon I come across, I have a water one that I, you know, captured in the wild, so I can use him and all that. So.
I'm just not watching the video.
Well, Eli, you watch it and you, yeah.
It looks awesome.
Doesn't it? Are you watching it now?
Yeah.
Wait, who can pronounce the legendaries?
I can.
I cheated. I already looked at that.
Yeah. Did you see the, I posted the pronunciations.
Yeah.
Yveltal. Yeah, so Evel is the emphasis, and then Xerneas.
Xerneas
is definitely easier to say. Xerneas.
Yes.
Rolls off the tongue. Yveltal is very.
Yveltal?
Yeah. But I love the look of Yveltal. Just
which one
the.
Is that? He's
the Y one.
That's the bird. Looking.
Yeah, I really like that one. People said they really don't like the look of Yveltal, but
really, I think he looks better than the Xerneas guy.
Really, I like Xerneas a lot.
I mean, yeah, Xerneas is cool too, but he reminds me of the Ruby and Sapphire, legendaries. But I don't know. Yeah, he kind of looks like Groudon in the sense that. You know, he's red and black, but, you know. Anyways, but I'm excited. Excited to play online. Anyways. What'd you think of it, Eli?
No, it looks really good.
Yeah, they've improved the engine quite a bit. And I know some people online were kind of criticizing the engine. They're like, oh, it doesn't look that good, you know. You look at stuff in the far distance and it's like, oh, it's kind of pixelated back there or whatever. But, you know, when has a 3DS game ever looked good just in a video? Once you actually see it and play it, you know, I think.
Well, that's what I was thinking too, because I think even in the video it looks pretty good. But I was thinking in my mind it's going to look even better on the 3DS.
And this isn't the final product here. I mean,
exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm sure they're improving it all the time, you know, the visual quality and what they can push with it and everything. So, I think it'll just get better. I mean, I think of even like Mario 3D Land. When we first saw the screenshots of that, and I remember people saying, oh, it's pixelated, it's grainy, blah, blah, blah. But you play Mario 3D Land, and it plays like Galaxy. I mean, it just looks incredible on the screen. So, anyways. It'll be fun. So, we got that to look forward to in October. And a bunch of other big 3DS games, so. Looks like the 3DS is going to keep steamrolling, I think. Anyways, I think that about wraps it up for us. You guys have anything else?
Did we have any questions on Twitter?
I didn't see anything. I mean,
the only question that I really saw was the one about the...
Facebook?
Yeah, the Sonic Racing.
Yeah. No, yeah. I just see your retweet on here as the last interaction here.
Yeah, he said that he was going to test it out.
Good.
The guy on Facebook, so.
Sweet. Nice. Well, it was fun, guys. We'll see you next week. We're going to be doing another one next Wednesday. So have a great week, and we'll talk to you later.
And everybody, stay tuned to Pure Nintendo for the big news coming up very, very soon.
Yes, big news. we alluded to it when Ben was talking, but we'll wait to maybe next week.
Definitely.
Yeah.
All right.
See ya.